Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Game 5 tonight between the Predators and Canucks. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Adam Vingan to the program. Adam, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Arlo is spoken for this morning, so hopefully no interruptions this time.
That's disappointing. We were looking forward to Arlo coming back on the show.
We're doing a roundtable.
Looking forward to
Lego roundtable.
I've heard some positive things about Arlo's appearance on the show last week, which is not how I felt about it when it was over. But I'm glad everybody else enjoyed it.
maybe round two next week. We'll have to see what happens.
We'll see. Front.
Adam, how would you assess the play of UC Saros to this point in the series?
It's been a bit of a mixed bag, and Joe texted me this yesterday, and I understand why he was a bit startled by it. So according to SportLogic, UC Saros has allowed 3.1 goals above expected in this series, which is not a good number. And this is when the eye test and the analytics sometimes butt heads, because when I saw that number, I thought to myself, that seems a little high. Because, you know, I'm thinking of the quote-unquote bad goals that he has allowed in this series. You know, I think of the goal that Elias Lindholm scored. I guess that would have been game one.
Yeah.
Game one. You know, that wasn't a great goal. But then, unless I'm obviously missing something, I can't think of another one that was so egregiously bad that made me feel like it would increase his goals saved or goals allowed above expected. You know, part of it is he's only faced, I believe, 71 shots in the series, and he's allowed 10 goals. I mean, that's not good. I mean, those percentages do not favor UC Saros. And, you know, I think back to game two, I thought when the Predators weren't blocking shots, he made some big saves, but I feel like the narrative has already been established that if the Predators lose this series, UC Saros will be 0-for in terms of winning playoff series when he's a starter, and therefore he can't win the big one. You know, I'm thinking about other you know, notable goalies around the league. Yesterday, for example, the NHL announced as Vezina Trophy finalist. You know, the heavy favorite is Connor Hellebuck. Hellebuck has allowed 19 goals in 4 games against the Colorado Avalanche in that first round series. It's the worst 4-game stretch of his entire career in terms of goals against. That's actually tied for the worst stretch of his career over a 4-game span. So, you know, sometimes the goalie situation is volatile. I mean, I think that, you know, you look at the goal, you know, 2-6-on-5 goals for Vancouver in game 4, you know, there were some big defensive breakdowns. Like, what is he supposed to do on the goal that Elias Lindholm scores to win the game the other night? I mean, the players in front of him completely, you know, broke down defensively. So, I mean, the numbers are not good. I mean, I think his play has been better than the numbers would suggest, but I think he has been, decidedly average to slightly below average in this series.
Yeah, I mean, I think these numbers to me are not reflective of how he's playing. I mean, look, I guess if you're talking about allowing goals above expected. You mentioned, Robbie, that, you know, there's a screen goal or two in here that you hope he gets.
Yep.
And that's got to be it, right? It's got to be those. But
I mean, there's a lot of different things that factor into what counts as an expected goal. You know, it's where the shot is coming from, the type of shot, the pass that precedes the shot, all of that kind of stuff. There's a full algorithm that determines that and there are different models. You know, everyone has their own model. Like I saw a model, I think Money Puck, their model said he's actually saved more goals above expected, yeah, just barely. But every model has a different way of determining what an expected goal is. But I think just based on what we've seen in this series, I just think he hasn't been up to the task as much as he needs to be in order to win this series, especially considering what's happening on the other side. The fact that the Canucks have started 3 different goaltenders, and you know, Artur Seelofs is a I believe one of the Canucks' better prospects, but when you're starting your third string goalie in a game like that, you know, if you're a Vezina caliber goalie on the other side, you should outduel him, and that didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree. It has not been what they need. To me, if they're going to have any chance, well, probably tonight, but certainly any chance of winning three straight games, I mean, he's going to have to be incredible, right? Like, he's going to have to – and I mean, again, he didn't have that much chance to be incredible. That's what's weird, you know? Like, the other night, I don't see what he does on, I think, all four of them. Maybe the first one he gets over a little faster, but I think he's going to have to be incredible. And that said, I don't know. I feel like right now, it's not just about whether it's fair or not that he performs it. It's still about, are you going to give that kind of money to him or anyone at goaltender right now if you're the Preds, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. And you know, I think we talked about this, a little bit ago, you know, even before the playoffs started, that if you are looking to add to your team, you know, specifically up front and try to become more dynamic offensively, you can save a lot of money by putting in a goaltender on an entry-level contract and not giving them and using the money you would be giving to UC Soros to fortify other parts of the lineup. And I still think that's the smart way to go. I mean, I was listening to Jared yesterday talk about, you know, the core of this team, specifically Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg, and UC Soros, and if they lose this series, what it means for that group. Well, two of the three are spoken for. They've got full no-movement clauses. If they want to be here, Barry Trotz can't do a darn thing about it. So I feel like it's one of those, like, I think about it like what's happening in Toronto, right? Toronto is down 3-1 to Boston. No one is expecting Toronto to win that series. It feels like that quote-unquote core four is coming to a head. The Maple Leafs are not trading Austin Matthews. They just signed William Nylander. No one's probably taking John Tavares at this point. So who's the odd man out? Mitch Marner. It feels like if there's going to be a change, a significant change, it feels like Marner is the one that's going to be sent packing. And that's what it kind of feels like here. If there's going to be a significant change, it feels like UC Soros is the one player that would be moved, because the other two that you would think of can't be moved against their will. So, you know, the series is still here. I mean, I'm always a bit hesitant to talk big picture when the series isn't officially over, even though it feels over. But yeah, it feels like the decision, you know, we felt like a decision was coming with UC Soros anyway, but it feels like his performance in the series might accelerate that a little bit.
Adam Vingan with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Adam, if you're Barry Trotz, Andrew Burnett, even a Preds fan, how concerned are you with Tommy Novak's lack of effectiveness in this series? Is it as simple as it's just a bad matchup? What are your thoughts on Novak and just the total wall that he's hit in this series so far?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that just happens to an experienced player who's getting his first taste of Stanley Cup playoff hockey. With Tommy Novak, I always have to make sure that I'm not saying young player, because he's in his like mid to late 20s.
Correct.
Like, he's an inexperienced player in the NHL relative to other players, but he is an older player. Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's just matchups. But then again, I think Luke Evangelista has been quite noticeable in this series. He scored the goal in Game 3. To make it interesting near the end. I feel like he's been active offensively. Yeah, it just feels like Novak has hit a bit of a wall, and like you said, maybe it is the matchup. The Canucks have some big dudes out there. I mean, not just on defense. You know, they've got Tyler Myers and Nikita Zadorov, but, you know, their forwards are big too. JT Miller is a big guy. Brock Besser is a big guy. Even Elias Pettersson is deceptively big. It just feels like it hasn't been there for Novak in this series. And I think the track record over the past two regular seasons is solid, which is why they signed him to the contract that they gave him earlier in the regular season. But yeah, I was a bit surprised that perhaps Andrew Burnett didn't make a move there. And with their backs against the wall, I wonder if Burnett makes a change at forward. You know, you don't want to be looking like you're making a panic move, but, you know, I wondered if Juuso Parsonen or Cody Glass might be better in this situation. I mean, they're both young players. But I just feel like Novak hasn't had it in this series. And that's, again, sort of what we talked about the analytics and the eye test with UC Saros. Last I checked, like the analytics when Novak are on the ice are actually not bad, but he has not been effective individually. So I think that I would strongly consider taking him out for this game and putting in one of the other forwards.
So if the Preds can pull this off, Adam, how much does the pressure kind of shift then to the Canucks? I mean, they still are in a great position if that's the case, but they have this dreaded flight back here that they absolutely do not want to have to take. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I think they're going to put everything into winning this game. It would be huge. If the Preds find a way, how much, I guess, does that make you start to wonder about the pressure and just, you know, the opportunity the Preds have, considering that they, I would assume that would mean they'd outplay them again, and they have been outplaying them lately.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the first things JT Miller said when he talked about the importance of winning game four and going back and closing it out in game five, was like not having to fly back here. That was like the first thing that came out of his mouth. So they're not interested in schlepping all the way back to Nashville, and I don't blame them. That's not a short flight. But I mean, there's going to be pressure on them to win tonight. I mean, I think the last time they've closed out a series on home ice was all the way back in 2011.
Yep.
In the Western Conference Final against San Jose. So it's been 13 years since the Canucks closed out a 7-game playoff series on home ice. Now they won a series in the bubble, but that wasn't on home ice. But so there's going to be pressure on them, and I think that if the Predators outplay them again and win, you know, yeah, maybe depending on what happens with their goaltending situation. You know, Rick Tocchet said after the game the other night that Casey DeSmith could be an option tonight. They were playing it safe with him when they started Seeloff in game four. You know, it could ratchet up things, just because I think at this point people just expect the Canucks to finish the job, especially considering how devastating the loss that the Predators suffered was the other night. But yeah, look, the Predators. If my math is right, they've outshot the Canucks 60-33 in the past two games. I believe it's 49-22 at 5-on-5. They should have won both games. They definitely should have won game four. And you know, Rick Tocchet was the coach after the game, sounding like his team was down 3-1, not up 3-1. Like, and because he just feels like his team hasn't given their best effort, but yet they're up 3-1. So. You know, I envision, you know, an incredibly motivated team on that side, too, because, as you said, you know, if they don't want to have to come back here, you know, it would say, you know, think about the beating that Quinn Hughes has been taking in this series, especially the other night. You know, they don't want Quinn Hughes to have to take more punishing hits than absolutely necessary. So I think that, you know, the Canucks are going to be hungry to finish it off today.
Adam, very good stuff. Not as good as Arlo, but you can try again next week. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right, Adam Vinken, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on what he had to say there. Preds and Canucks in Game 5 coming up tonight. We'll get more into the Saros thing coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.